What up? Welcome. Let's get this camera adjusted. All right, we're going to have to adjust it just a little bit more. There we go. Welcome to Ango in the Morning. It is a new wrestling talk show in the morning. Of course, I'm on Eastern Standard Time, and I'm just really excited about this. Man, we have a lot to talk about. We're going to talk a little bit about ROH, WWE, AEW. There is a structure to the show. Today is November 22nd, 2021. We will be going live Monday through Friday, probably around 10 a.m. This is a trial. We are going to do live call-ins in the very, very near future. So if anybody wants to call into the show, anything like that, you definitely can. Also, guys, if you want to leave a super chat, it is a very great way to support Ango in the Morning. It's a new journey. It's a new mission for me here on YouTube to bring you guys a wrestling talk show. This is additional to the wrestling news as well. So for those who enjoy wrestling news, this is going to be a little bit more of a collective show. But the great news is there are a ton of topics. Today, of course, it is headlined by the main topic of WWE selling. There has been a ton of questions, a ton of talk about it, and whether or not WWE is actually selling, that's going to be the most important thing for us to know. I'm going to give you guys my 2 cents on that topic. Also, Survivor Series was yesterday. I did a poll on the channel. Very, very good feedback. We also are going to talk about AEW, possibly, you know, signing too many WWE wrestlers. What are my thoughts on that? The future of ROH, the future of Impact Wrestling. And every day we're going to have a great amount of topics to discuss. And I think the best part about this all, my friends, is that we are going to have a lot of fun with this live show. If you guys leave a super chat, we will leave a few minutes on the clock to answer questions. So any super chat that is brought in, I will give you guys my honest answer at the end of the show. Now, with that being said, don't forget, if you can't watch this live, I totally understand. What we've actually done is create a second channel on YouTube, Ango in the Morning Clips. So there will be clips for certain parts. Or you could watch the video on demand on this YouTube channel, youtube.com/AngoYT. Or if you are somebody who likes to listen to podcasts, I have plans to have every single episode live. And then, of course, on demand with Spotify, Apple Music, and all the other streaming services. This way, if you like long-term audio form content, but you still want to be able to play with your phone or whatever, you do have that option. So let's kick things off. Thank you, everybody, for stopping by. This is the first episode, and as time goes on, things will get really, really fun. And, yeah, it's going to be really great. So let's talk a little bit about WWE Survivor Series, because Survivor Series is, well, it's one of the big four pay-per-views that WWE has. And the biggest problem with Survivor Series this year was the lack of the build. Now, that was just my personal opinion, but I truthfully got to tell you guys, like, I know sometimes when I do these polls on my channel, they are a troll, okay? But I asked everybody, I said, what are your thoughts on Survivor Series? And with over 1.2K votes, 82% of people gave it a thumbs down. That is not too many people trolling, okay? If we're being very honest with ourselves, yes, there might be a little bit of a troll to a certain extent. But here on Ango in the Morning, my goal is to talk about my personal opinions. And I see a lot of people's opinions on this show, and a lot of people's opinions were not great. A lot of people didn't agree with the way Survivor Series was built up, and a lot of people didn't think Survivor Series delivered a great pay-per-view. Now, with that being said, I'm going to say this, because I think this is the most important part of the conversation that a lot of people aren't having. When WWE wants to have a good show, they can have a good show. Crown Jewel 2021 was a great pay-per-view. Survivor Series had great matches. But the problem is, great matches don't equate to great television. Great television equates to great matches. That's always been my personal opinion, and I think that's what AEW does very well with. So when people ask me, hey, Ango, what did you think of Survivor Series? If I'm being completely honest with you guys, I truthfully thought Survivor Series had so much potential despite the lack of build, but it was very clear without the big build, Survivor Series was a letdown. And I like WWE. People ask me, like, people literally, I get comments in my YouTube channel, okay? And I see this literally every single time. People say, oh, you hate WWE. You're so biased towards AEW. Well, let's talk a little bit about my history covering AEW. Before AEW launched as a company, I was covering AEW. I was discussing, because there was news about trademarks. There was rumors. There was things I heard, things I personally heard outside of the bubble from the internet. And I was talking about this stuff and what it could be and everything it should be. That's why I cover AEW. Because I was there from literally the beginning. For those of you who are new to my career here on YouTube, I have been doing YouTube since like 2008, okay? When I first started covering wrestling, because a lot of people don't know this, I didn't cover wrestling in the beginning. But when I first started covering wrestling, I want to say it was like 2011 or 2012. Once I first started getting into that, I was really big into WWE. I was also the channel that would cover a lot of Impact Wrestling because at the time, Impact Wrestling was still doing pretty decent with viewership. So when I look at Survivor Series, first of all, let's just give credit where credit is due. Charlotte and Becky was incredible, and I thought the booking was really well done. I think it makes sense for their storyline, for their issues that they have, right? But then I also look at Big E versus Roman Reigns, and I think, holy crap, WWE makes Big E a legitimate champion, right? The problem is, when there's no build to a pay-per-view like this, let alone it's one of your big four, when there's no build to a pay-per-view like this, I think there is a huge issue with all of the matches in between. So when somebody says, hey, what did you think of Survivor Series? It was watchable. I wasn't bored, right? Like, it was good matches. But everything that happened last night tells me there's nothing to look forward to tonight on the November 22nd edition of WWE Raw. So Survivor Series wasn't a terrible pay-per-view. It just didn't feel important. Now you might be asking, why does that matter? Why do compelling storylines matter? Trust me, I don't think AEW has better storytelling than WWE because I think in wrestling, every storyline is unoriginal. There's millions of years of pro wrestling to go back and take inspiration from. But what I think is the commitment from each company to the storyline. That, I think, is what transitions a good company to a great company. Like in WWE, we've seen the authority figure so many times. Vince McMahon shows up at Survivor Series with Cleopatra's egg. Somebody steals the egg. Who stole the egg? It's probably somebody that's going to be on the next list of budget cuts. That's my opinion towards that. But we talk a little bit about Survivor Series because I think a lot of today's episode really comes together. And I think a lot of it comes together because there's talks of WWE possibly selling the company. And trust me, we will talk about that later on. But I want people to know that Survivor Series has the potential to do everything that fans want. They just choose not to. It's a choice. It's your commitment to storytelling. It's your commitment to producing great matches. So, yeah, Survivor Series was decent. I didn't care to like be glued to the screen. Why? Because I was watching the Detroit Pistons. I enjoy watching basketball. So I enjoy watching basketball. I was playing a little bit of Call of Duty. I got three screens all set up. It's not... There's like this tribalism that's like... with wrestling, right? We can't shit on Survivor Series and not shit on AEW or Impact Wrestling, right? We can't. We gotta be fair. People said, Ango, you're a little too critical of AEW Full Gear. I said, yeah, it's a great pay-per-view. Great pay-per-view. That took forever. Then they said, Ango, you didn't say that about Survivor Series. Well, here's your answer as to why. I was glued to my screen for Full Gear because that's what happens when you build up proper storylines. I was not glued to my screen for Survivor Series because there was less of a buildup. I don't know how else to explain that to people. So when somebody says, Ango, you're too biased, what I've actually learned is that this tribalism that fans have to these respective companies, you can't change that. One day it's Ango, you're too biased. The next it's Ango, you're a hater. Opinions are opinions. I thought Survivor Series had all the tools to be a great pay-per-view. I thought Big E looked incredible. The worst part about the whole Survivor Series pay-per-view was just nothing felt important. And WWE tried to make you believe that it was important. They absolutely tried to make you think it was important. You want to know how I know they try to make you think it was important? Because WWE went above and beyond for marketing and advertising this pay-per-view a week prior to the show. They went late night shows. They got along with famous TikTokers to promote Big E and Roman Reigns and all of these great things. But then there was one thing about Survivor Series that I think a lot of people just went crazy for. And this is where I will defend WWE, just as I would defend AEW or Impact. And trust me, we've had to do this before with both of those companies. The Rock did not show up at Survivor Series. To me, this seemed like a reach for WWE because it really, I know WWE had talked about it in the past that this was the 25th anniversary of The Rock's debut, but this was also a huge issue for WWE to not really like, I don't know, bring him in. WWE promoted this so much in the past week. They shoved it down everybody's throats that it was The Rock's anniversary. You're showing footage throughout the show. The problem is you're in a situation where now WWE is setting the expectation for The Rock to show up. But they didn't advertise him. So it was reported that fans after the show, they were upset about it. Fans on Twitter, fans in our Discord. If you're not in our Discord, check it out. People are upset about it. I get it. I understand why people are upset. But WWE, at the end of the day, did not say The Rock was showing up. By the way, The Rock is not showing up to WWE in a long time. He's already said this. He has literally already come out and said, like, right now, no. Like, he would love to have it happen one day, but he's not. We covered this news on the YouTube channel. So just something to consider for fans who get their hopes up a little bit. Because I was at the very first All Out. I was at StarCast when CM Punk was there. And CM Punk had to tell people because AEW and the fans and the reporters were not denying the reports that CM Punk was actually not going to show up. They were not denying it. Punk had to tell people, I'm not showing up. I'm not returning to wrestling. I was there. I was in Chicago at the first All Out, and I'll never forget the moment when CM Punk did not show up. I had to go through a 4.5-hour pay-per-view or whatever, however long it was, and then we're walking out, and I hear fans like, oh my God, AEW let us down. There's no CM Punk. There's no CM Punk. There's no CM Punk. They lied to us. It's in Chicago. Where's CM Punk? That's literally what I heard. And that is why here on Ango in the Morning, I am telling you, fans, stop your tribalism to companies. Stop getting overly excited about everything these companies do. Watch what you watch. Enjoy what you watch. Don't use my influence or other creators or other podcasters. Don't let us dictate what you like to watch. This is my platform for me to discuss what I enjoy. And if we have common ground, that's amazing. If we don't have common ground, we can debate and we can have healthy conversation. But at the end of the day, I think this tribalism that exists is why you're upset with WWE. Because we knew Survivor Series sucked. And by the way, if The Rock showed up to Survivor Series, the show still wouldn't have been good. Because it's not enough. It's just not enough. So I'm making it very clear The Rock didn't show up. That was a very large reason as to why fans were unhappy. WWE didn't advertise The Rock, so therefore, you played yourself. As a reminder, guys, I'm trying to keep up with the chat and super chats and memberships. If you guys want to support the channel, you could become a supporter. I believe it's $4.99. Just so you guys know, before you even click on that button, before you click on join, if you do decide to become a partner, because that's how I view you. If you're a supporter, you're a partner of mine. If you decide to do that, one thing I just want you guys to know is that I am unloading new perks, especially with Ingo in the Morning being a major focus on this channel. So just keep that in mind. And then again, if you guys leave any super chats, any questions with those super chats will be asked or answered at the end of the show. So clearly Survivor Series pissed off a lot of people. I'm not really shocked. But then, of course, lately there's been a lot of talks about, do we need a third promotion? Obviously, we've seen the news about Impact Wrestling bringing in Jonah Rock, aka Bronson Reed. We've seen the rumors attached to Impact and Bray Wyatt. We've seen the rumors attached to, you know, AEW and Bray as well. And there's just a lot of rumors right now about the free agency. And then, of course, ROH. We will talk about the future of ROH and Impact in just a little bit, because there's quite a bit of stuff there that's really interesting. But we have gotten to the point in pro wrestling where the indie wrestling market, in my personal opinion, is dead. You have a few good indie companies, but the indie wrestling surge that we saw in 2019 no longer exists. And this is what happens when you have a world pandemic, right? A global pandemic happens. Unfortunately, you get to a situation where businesses can't survive, indie wrestling can't survive, and there's not a lot of indie wrestling right now. You have Warrior Wrestling, you have AAW, but right now, when it comes to indie wrestling, you have GCW, Game Changer Wrestling, which it's not my style, but I've watched it a couple times. I've gone to a couple shows. It's not bad. I'm not obsessed with it. I enjoy it when I watch it, but I'm not like this like hardcore fan for it. But I love what they're doing in indie wrestling. And what GCW has done, in my opinion, is they have basically changed the game. No pun intended, but they have changed the game when it comes to indie wrestling, because the entire ROH roster gets released. Bandido is then announced for GCW. You got names showing up in GCW that could be stars anywhere on TV. And to be honest with you, I don't know what these guys are getting paid. I don't know if GCW is in a financial situation to be paying these guys a crap ton of money. If I had to guess, no, I don't think so, because it's such a niche. But I do think they're doing enough to survive and make a little bit of money and be successful. And then it got me thinking, it's like, do we really need a third promotion? When I say a third promotion, I'm talking like a large promotion, because we got WWE, we got AEW, Impact, MLW, too low a viewership, okay? They're not viable options. They can pay and they could be on TV. Their quality doesn't stand out on the scale of AEW and WWE. So when I talk about a third promotion, I am talking about the level of 7,000, 8,000 fans in an arena with a TV deal that is legitimate. And when I say legitimate, I'm not talking Pop TV or Destination America, like the type of shit that Impact Wrestling was pulling years ago. I'm talking like an actual TV deal, similar to like how AEW is on TNT and TBS, WWE on USA and Fox. Do we need a third promotion? And I'm going to say yes, we do, because there are so many talents. Now, the thing is, GCW is an incredible indie company, and people do buy their events. And on top of that, not only do people buy their events, but most importantly, they have a really strong following. Really strong following. You have New Japan Pro Wrestling, which is one of the largest companies in the world in terms of pro wrestling. But at the end of the day, I'm in the United States. If I want to watch New Japan, I want to watch it like how I watch AEW or WWE. Set time every week, live, that type of thing, right? So I'm not discounting New Japan Pro Wrestling. I'm not discounting AAA. I think those companies are great. But in North America, I think we need a third promotion. NWA is not a big promotion in my eyes. And yes, I will say it. I think NWA is a failure. I do. I think Impact Wrestling has all the tools, and we will discuss that in just a little bit. I think AEW working with Impact actually hurt Impact a little bit. But I think the most important thing for people to understand at this point is this free agency that we have, they cannot sign to AEW. I mean, I think just this year alone, WWE released 80 superstars. 80 superstars. So if WWE released 80 superstars, where are these 80 superstars going to go? That is the real question. And I ask this question because Impact Wrestling can't sign 80 superstars. AEW can't sign 80 superstars. NWA and MLW sure as hell can't sign 80 superstars. But yes, you can take a select few from each company, could take a select few and bring them in, right? But if you're an AEW fan, the problem is, oh, you're signing too many WWE superstars. But we just discussed how indie wrestling is no longer the thing, right? Indie wrestling is no longer, it's no longer alive like it was. And I think that's the biggest issue. We need a third promotion. A large scale promotion. Why do I think Impact and AEW's partnership sucks? Well, first of all, let me tell you, I watch Impact Wrestling on a weekly basis. People always say, Ango, what is your favorite wrestling show? It's actually Impact. Yeah, I have been watching Impact probably for as long as I was always a kid watching Impact. And then obviously like TNA and it evolved and whatnot. But Impact Wrestling, after the Billy Corgan years, which I think Billy Corgan, Dixie, Anthem, that whole thing was a mess. But after that, once Anthem really took over, you guys got the more Don Callis taking over. That is when Impact really became really good. The people that say Impact Wrestling sucks, they don't watch Impact. I can tell you right now, I've called people out on this. They don't watch Impact. They don't even know what channel Impact Wrestling is on. They don't know who's the world champion. They don't know the roster. So people don't think Impact Wrestling could become the third promotion. Guaranteed if people watch Impact Wrestling on a weekly basis, and I guess this just really depends, right? Do you care about loving a promotion that's famous, or do you care about loving a promotion that brings in good content? Because the Impact company right now is the most consistent written wrestling television show on a weekly basis, and it's been that way since about 2018. Long-term storytelling, building new stars, and every single match on the show has some sort of importance, and that is a weekly thing. I've seen a lot of outrage on Twitter because Moose won the world championship, and people said Moose should not have won the world championship because they didn't build him up. Now, whatever your personal opinions are on Moose, that's fine. Wrestling opinions, though. Moose was being built up to win a world championship, to never win the world championship. So much so that he brought back the TNA Heavyweight Championship to hold a title. Josh Alexander was being built up as the guy that could never be world championship material. Not being smart enough, not being good enough, always a tag team guy, always living in the shadow of Ethan Page. For those who watch AEW, did you know that Ethan Page was tag team champions with the walking weapon Josh Alexander? No, you probably didn't because you don't watch Impact Wrestling. So you might be hearing the passion in my voice when I talk about Impact. Maybe I'm far more passionate about Impact than WWE, but the real reason why is because on a weekly basis, they get you invested. So, okay, Bound for Glory happens. Josh Alexander finally wins. He gets the job done. Moose wins the Call Your Shot Battle Royal. Josh Alexander, in the ring with his child and his wife, gets cashed in on. He loses the belt. Why? Because he was never smart enough to be a world champion. He was never good enough, right? Now you got Bronson Reed in Impact Wrestling taking out Josh Alexander on Turning Point. The road for Josh Alexander just keeps getting harder and harder and harder. And damn it, the fans might be right. Maybe he's just not good enough to be a world champion until Impact does that. Because eventually the payoff is Impact giving you Josh Alexander as a world championship. So I'm not saying Impact Wrestling is the greatest wrestling show, but it is the most consistent with everybody having something to do and everybody getting behind somebody. Impact airs pre-taped. That's why the relationship with AEW doesn't work. If anybody wants to know why AEW and Impact doesn't work together, the reason why that relationship is bad, and this is why we need a third promotion, I'm going to give you the answers right here. Impact Wrestling is pre-recorded, sometimes a month or 2 months in advance. Now, AEW is live every week, and that is all you need to know. You cannot put these storylines together and have somebody show up. It's got to match up with each other. It was the biggest issue with Impact Wrestling. It's the biggest issue with AEW, and that's why we need a third promotion. If you guys don't believe me, watch the product. So what is the solution to a third promotion? That's the real question. What is the solution? Well, I think for that, we got to talk about the future of ROH and Impact Wrestling. There is a power with companies working together. I think there is powers behind that. And I don't think AEW should be the saving grace of pro wrestling. I think AEW should just keep focusing on putting on quality storytelling. Go ahead and work with other companies. That is fine. I think it's a great thing that AEW wants to lend out talent and do talent exchange. I can't wait until Okada shows up in AEW because that is the type of stuff that gets me excited. What doesn't get me excited is when I read the news that ROH releases its entire roster and they plan to reshape and revisualize the company next year. So, of course, we got the news that ROH and Impact Wrestling, we got the news that ROH releases everybody. Then we get news that Impact Wrestling is interested in signing a few of these individuals. But the problem is, when we talk about having a third promotion, we need a third promotion that is large. And I think Impact Wrestling is in a situation. I don't think Impact Wrestling can afford to be the third largest company. But then I look at a company like Sinclair Broadcasting, which makes a lot of money, and for some reason they're struggling financially. And when I see that they're struggling financially and they release everybody, I'm just thinking, why can't Impact and ROH merge together? They've always been similar in terms of the product. They both have great rosters, but now it's too late because ROH released everybody. What happens is we need a third investor. You got Tony Khan, you got Vince McMahon, you got some rich-ass people running the wrestling show right now. Anthem has money, Sinclair has got money, but now they're in debt. And I look at wrestling right now and I think ROH is done. ROH will be a super indie, which is very, 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 very realistic. You'll see ROH run shows, pay-per-views. You'll see ROH do things, WrestleMania weekend and whatnot. But I think we've gotten to the point where ROH is done. So when we talk about a third promotion, the only saving grace that we have in this situation is if they move in with Impact. Because I don't think right now there is anybody that's out there that is interested in getting invested in pro wrestling. Because it's not easy to make money in pro wrestling. When everybody's talking about viewership and ratings and everything, it's much more complicated than just a silly number that Brian Alvarez tweets out, okay? It's much more complicated than that. So when I look at ROH and Impact Wrestling, I think the best move is for them to merge. Impact Wrestling needs to go live every Thursday, 8 p.m., go live. You also need to start running bigger venues. Production. Perception is reality. If it looks like a big deal, it probably is. My biggest issue with Impact Wrestling has been the fact that Impact Wrestling was in a situation where they used to be the number two promotion. ROH was arguably the third promotion. If you guys want to know, based on social media searches, Google searches, social media, internet relevance, GCW has overtaken Impact and ROH and MLW. MLW could do like 50,000 viewers. Impact does about 100,000. ROH, you, who knows? I think the best thing is for ROH and Impact to merge. Those talents that were released by ROH should have the option to sign anywhere they want. I think you commit to that. But you're going to have your loyal wrestlers. You're going to have your Dalton Castles. You're going to have the Briscoes. You're going to have a lot of people that are loyal to the ROH brand. And I think they'll want to remain part of that brand. And I think for as long as that happens, I think that is the strength for them. They could do arenas with $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. Or 1,000 people. They can do a lot of stuff. They can get a TV deal that's good. Trust me. There is a need for it. Fans are making it clear they want more wrestling. People just aren't satisfied with WWE's product. So now the idea of a third promotion works out really well. In fact, I think a third promotion could definitely get like 500K to a million viewers. If it's on the production level of WWE and AEW. And I'm not crazy. It's happened before. We've seen this type of stuff happen. So the thing is, what are we going to do to improve the wrestling industry? Us fans, there's nothing. It's always going to be dominated by someone who's rich. Whether that's Tony Khan or Vince McMahon or both. But ROH and Impact Wrestling are the two companies that should merge together. They should merge together. The talent that want to remain, remain. The talent that don't, they leave. Because at this point, ROH, yeah, financially, it's just not going to happen. They're not doing good. They're not. So I think if you bring in Impact, you bring in ROH, now you have the Forbidden Door opened with AEW. You're going live. Every week, Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Dynamite's the day before. Now you can do your invasion angles. Now you can do your share of talent. Then you add in New Japan. Oh, by the way, when all these companies work together, why not do a stadium show? WrestleMania. So I look at like Lollapalooza in Chicago or, you know, some of these music festivals. And I think, why the hell don't we have this for wrestling? And then people say, oh, we do. It's WrestleMania. But that's just WWE talent. Why don't we have a stadium show filled with some of the biggest talent around the world? Oh, because the Forbidden Door is a very, very, very big problem. The Forbidden Door is not... The Forbidden Door, I don't think it works the way people want it to. It's very selective on who comes in and who goes out. And I think also another big thing that people need to understand about this Forbidden Door. If the Forbidden Door is so great, we would have seen Okada already. We would have seen Impact Wrestling talent in AEW. And I just explained why we can't. But the Forbidden Door is not the greatest thing that happened to AEW. The greatest thing that happened to AEW, my friends, is the fact that AEW is just a really good written television show. And yes, it's got its pros and cons. Just like I said with WWE earlier in the show, there's good things and there's bad things. But there's a level of commitment that Tony Khan and the EVPs of AEW have to their product. And WWE has a commitment to their business. Both have ways to be successful, by the way. WWE is committed to streaming rights. They're committed to action figures and toys and partners and stockholders and advertisers and all this stuff. If you guys want AEW to become big and successful in the long term, they're going to have to turn like WWE at some point. They'll have to get that big. Just something to kind of keep in mind. One of the other things I really wanted to talk about on today's debut episode of Ango in the Morning is this idea that AEW is signing too many people. This seems to be a topic that is highly debated in my comment section channel on YouTube and also social media. And we talk about this a lot. AEW signs former WWE superstar. AEW interested in released WWE superstar. AEW in talks with former WWE superstar. AEW, former WWE, AEW, former WWE. The conversation is this. This is the one thing people need to know. Business-wise, we saw a huge change in AEW's business. When AEW first started as a company, because a lot of people forget, I think a lot of people have short attention spans and typically don't remember the beginning of AEW. When AEW was doing Fyter Fest, when they were doing things with the CEO of CEO Gaming, right? AEW didn't have a lot of people that were TV ready. They don't. That's why you see a lot of people on Dark Elevation, right? So then AEW signs former talent that were signed to WWE, and the conversation is, oh, they're becoming WWE 2.0. Oh, they are becoming NXT 3.0, right? I hear this argument all the time, and then of course it gets me thinking a little bit. I'm like, oh man, maybe they're right. Maybe AEW signed too many people. Then they bring in Jay Lethal from ROH. The problem is not AEW signing too many people. I think the real problem is AEW's ability to develop talent that have no experience whatsoever. MJF had a little bit of experience. Darby Allin's character doesn't really need TV experience to begin with. But Darby Allin, again, self-sufficient, came up, did things the right way, and became a star pretty much on his own. Then you bring in CM Punk and Bryan Danielson and Adam Cole, and then there's this argument that, oh, now the show is about these former WWE guys. I don't see it. Sadly, I don't see it. AEW has done a really good job of making themselves not look like the bad guys. Because to be honest with you, there are a ton of talent on AEW's roster right now. I would cut and let them go. Because there's no value that they bring to my company. Oh, and by the way, when you look at WWE's roster and you see 80 people released this year, let's not act like there's people on that list that actually fucking contributed to this shit. Okay? That's the real thing. Because they didn't. There are talent that just simply aren't good enough. Let's not forget that. I'm not justifying WWE releasing 170-something people in this last year and a half. But there is definitely talent that were there that I can tell you certainly from watching TV, they were not that great. Okay? They were not. So AEW signing WWE talent or ROH talent, I'm cool with it. But you can't get far away from what your product was built on and the principles behind your product. And so far, AEW has not done that. Right? I mean, tell me if I'm not getting this. Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus just beat Adam Cole and Bobby Fish. Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus just beat Adam Cole and Bobby Fish. By the way, Adam Cole should be the number one guy in AEW, in my opinion. Number one guy. Now, don't get me wrong. For this entire duration of the feud, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, they haven't looked that great. Because they've done a really good job of making Adam Cole and the Bucks look fantastic. But then when it matters, we get behind Jungle Boy. And that's what AEW does very, very well. I think AEW is signing people, but they're not forgetting about the principles that their company was signed up on. I look at a guy like MJF being involved with Chris Jericho, and I just can't help but think, holy crap. This is going to be the worst wrestling match, but it is going to be the best promo, and it's going to be the best wrestling match. And you're probably thinking, Angle, that just doesn't sound right. How can the worst match be the best match? Guys, CM Punk lost it in the ring. He's not the greatest in the ring anymore. This is not the same CM Punk that we saw 7 years ago. That comes with time and age and ring rust. There's a lot that gets involved with it. Do you think I give a shit about CM Punk's ring ability? Do you guys think? Because here's the thing. I like being entertained. So when people say, Ango, you're too biased towards AEW. How? I watch WWE. And I'm sorry, but when I see Shanky and Jinder Mahal doing stupid rapping behind, like, when I see this stuff behind the scene, like backstage, because they're in a feud with Hit Row, do you think that's entertainment? It's not. But you best believe Roman Reigns versus Big E at Survivor Series was a great match, and it was an entertaining match, right? So I'm basically setting the precedent that AEW, MJF, and CM Punk might not be the best match on the card. In fact, it's not a match where I go, oh my God, I can't wait to watch it. Yeah, MJF is a great wrestler. MJF is very, very talented. And so is CM Punk. But what excites me about that is the ability that AEW has had from the beginning of getting me behind MJF. The promos, the mannerisms, the cheating. This guy's an asshole. This guy is a prick. And he does such a good job at being a prick. He does such a good job at being an asshole. You could bring in as many WWE superstars that were released as much as you want, or ROH. I honestly don't give a shit. Just don't do it in a way that impacts your talent that you have right now. Because what I keep hearing on social media, what I keep hearing in my comment section is this, and I think this right here is the most important part of it all, okay? This is what I think. People are offended with the idea that AEW is signing talent, but they're not using people like Joey Janela or Sonny Kiss or Leva Bates. Where's Peter Avalon? Where are some of these talent that were signed originally with AEW? Well, I will tell you, they're just simply not good enough. Joey Janela even said it himself. He said he really struggled during the pandemic. He said, you know, he needs a crowd. There's a lot of stuff, right? There was a lot involved with it. I say in a video, I go, how can we turn Joey Janela into somebody who's really talented? Why? Because Joey Janela has the talent. He does put up good matches. But there is something about him where right now he doesn't fit in AEW. And I say, okay, what can you do? Here's what you do. You sign Mick Foley. This guy hates WWE anyways. Mick Foley hates WWE. He criticizes them all the time. Bring in Mick Foley. Bring in the hardcore legend. And now repackage Joey Janela with Mick Foley. Somebody who can talk. Somebody who could cut a promo. Somebody who could help him cut a freaking story in the ring. But other than that, I see the potential in Joey Janela. I don't see the potential in some of these other people in AEW. So the people that are most offended by AEW signing Jay Lethal and Adam Cole and this person, that person, and oh, they might sign Bray, they might sign this person. My personal opinion is this. Dynamite is 2 hours. Rampage is 1 hour. If you want somebody to become a star, you have to get dedicated to making them a star. Doesn't happen overnight. It didn't happen overnight for Sammy Guevara. I was in Las Vegas for Double or Nothing, and I will tell you guys right now, nobody knew who Sammy Guevara was. But he versed Kip Sabian to open the show, and that was an incredible match. And I'm telling you guys, right now, as it stands, how did we get over and happy with the success of some of these guys? It's because they were featured on TV. They were given dedicated storylines, long-term storylines, and the storytelling was done in a way to make them feel important despite the fact that they lost. You never really see DQ wins. You never really see any of that stuff. DQ losses, countouts, it's not very common. I think in AEW's history, they've only done 2 time limit matches where they've hit the time limit, if I remember correctly. Then they do the unsanctioned matches. Again, guys, this is like, this is normal. This is where AEW, they could sign whoever the hell they want. You start going away from everything I'm just talking about, then that's where you have an issue. That's where I think they have an issue. But I don't think AEW will have that issue until they do it, and AEW has proven otherwise. AEW hasn't done it yet. If AEW does it, then we could all be mad. I don't think AEW is signing too many people. I want them to sign more. But just make sure everybody is in a meaningful situation. There's been a lot of talk about Impact Wrestling and AEW today. A little bit about ROH and GCW. We talked a little bit about Survivor Series and my honest thoughts. But today's headline, this main event, is Vince McMahon selling WWE. And this is something I've been wanting to discuss for a very long time. Truth be told, this is something I think a lot of people need to understand. We have no idea what is really happening. WWE reportedly cutting 100 million people from their roster. Obviously an exaggeration, but they've released so many people from their roster, and the reason is budget cuts. And holy crap, it actually could be budget cuts. Despite the fact that you're having record profits, you could very well have record, profit. Like you can look at the money, right? And you can see that budget cuts make sense because it's how you position your money and being profitable in certain areas and whatnot. I don't think it's the right decision for WWE to release people for budget cuts. I think WWE should flat out just come out and say, this person sucks. He's been in our company for 5 years and hasn't done anything to show us that we should put him on TV. Because I think being part of WWE and their philosophy and the way that they do things is this. You got to have the look that Vince McMahon likes. You got to be able to cut a promo and be an entertainer. You got to be marketable. And then you got to be a good wrestler. And a lot of these guys in WWE, people forget this, but a lot of guys in WWE were brought in because they were really good wrestlers because WWE didn't want them to go to AEW, right? Because WWE was threatened by AEW. So then you bring in this talent who's a good wrestler, but to be honest with you, they don't know what the hell they're doing on camera. They can't be marketable. You can't just change somebody and make them marketable if they don't have the vision. And they didn't sign them with the intent of giving them a vision. You know how I know this? I can tell you how I know this. Parker Boudreau. He now goes by the name of Harland in NXT 2.0. Say what you want about NXT 2.0. Say what you want about this guy. But before he signed to WWE, he was a hype beast. Swagged out hype beast. Now he's like a monster. Like a Snitsky, Lars Sullivan character. WWE knew that the way he looked and the way he presented himself, that's not going to get over. That's not marketable. WWE knows historically these monster characters are marketable. How? Because they've done it with Braun Strowman. They've done it with this guy and that guy. I mean, look, guys, it's you can see it with your own eyes. WWE has a formula that they stick with, and I think their formula is this. Become like Disney. Become like Marvel. Own the intellectual properties of everybody. This is why in WWE, there's very few people like Samoa Joe and AJ Styles. They got to keep their names and their likeness. But then you had guys like, what's a good example? I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head. There was talent. There's some talent that they've had to change their name. Alex Zane from GCW, he went to WWE, he became Ari Sterling. That's not marketable. Who else? I mean, there's so many. And that's why I'm having a little bit of a brain fart with that because I can't even remember. Because WWE has 6 million roster members and 5 million of them were released in the last year. So is WWE selling the company? Is Vince selling the WWE? I don't think so. But budget cuts, that ain't the reason. And yeah, it is all about the money too, by the way. It is. And I hate saying this, but it's going to happen with Tony Khan and it's going to happen with Impact. Now, the thing is, how they go about this is what makes them different. Because AEW, they just start releasing talent. Tony Khan's an asshole. Contracts run up. Tony Khan doesn't say a word. These people just go out publicly saying, hey, I'm no longer with AEW. Tony Khan's no longer an asshole. Just keep that in mind when it comes to pro wrestling. Keep that in mind when it comes to AEW. They can't look like the bad guy at the moment. So they're going to do what they can to not look like the bad guy. WWE looks like the bad guy. Do I think they're genuinely selling? I do not think they're genuinely selling the company. I really do not think they're selling the company. But there were rumors that Disney was interested by 2024 to buy the company. Then you have conversations of whether or not Triple H, whether or not he should start up his own company. Damn, hell no. Triple H ain't going to leave the WWE to go start his own company. He ain't got that kind of money. And then people say, well, when Vince leaves, when Vince is no longer there, who runs the company? You guys think it's going to be Triple H? There's no way in hell that Triple H is going to run this company. It's not even going to be Shane McMahon. It's going to be Nick Khan and like 10 other people. By the way, I think Nick Khan is gone. I think Nick Khan did exactly what he needed to do. That's what people in these type of positions do. They come in, make a shit ton of money for the company, and get the hell out. That's just my personal opinion. But everything they are doing resembles a company that's being prepared to sell. Now, who should buy the WWE? Well, I think if it's Disney, I don't think people are going to watch WWE ever again. If it's NBC, to be honest with you, I can see NBC doing a good job with WWE. Because it's NBC who is reportedly allowing WWE to go TV-14 with NXT 2.0. WWE doesn't need to sell the company. What WWE needs to do is change the entire base of their company. But they don't need to. If you guys want WWE to succeed, let me explain something to you. WWE will only succeed in the creative department when they're losing money. But their company is no longer depicted by the creative of their company. It's depicted by the likenesses and the intellectual property it holds. You'd think these wrestlers in WWE don't realize how great Impact and AEW are right now because they are pro wrestlers. Bryan Danielson went to WWE, he got his money, and he got out. Just like a lot of other talent will do the same. But there are a lot of talent who, trust me, they enjoy that paycheck. They just don't enjoy everything else. If I was WWE, I would sell it to NBC. Because at least NBC has the whereabouts and the knowledge to make a mature program. But for those who think WWE is losing fans, for those who think WWE is a failure, it's not. Yeah, they released your favorite indie wrestler. But trust me, rich people don't give a shit about talent releases and they don't care about what we have to say on YouTube. They don't care what we say on Ango in the morning. They don't care what you're tweeting about. Old people in the suits care about one thing and that's the money, the profits. Look at WWE going back to characters. NXT 2.0 is a direct result of a formula that works for WWE. Because Triple H failed with NXT. Because it was catered to hardcore wrestling internet fans. But at the end of the day, that is not what these rich people in suits want. That is just the way I see it. Triple H is in a situation where now we're going back to the drawing board with NXT. NXT in 2012, when you had Leo Kruger go from a jungle guy, I don't want to say jungle boy, but he was like a jungle, I don't even know how to explain his character. He was like a, Leo Kruger was from South Africa, I think. Then he became Then he became, oh my God, what was it? Adam Rose. Imagine that. Leo Kruger became Adam Rose. Which one did Vince McMahon bring up to the main roster? Adam Rose. And then people are like, oh, he ruined Adam Rose because Adam Rose was, he was seen as a world championship kind of guy in NXT. Then he went to WWE, and I guarantee people who are listening to this right now don't even remember this shit because, again, we fail to remember some of these things. But Adam Rose went to the WWE, and immediately he did exactly what Vince enjoys. Character, wackiness. And we hate this. We love pro wrestling. But I'm telling you guys right now, that is not how WWE works. WWE is not a pro wrestling company. They are an entertainment conglomerate with pro wrestling being the centerfold of it all. So that is what you need to know in regards to AEW versus WWE. And I'm telling you guys right now, as a pro wrestling fan, I really do enjoy AEW. And there are elements of WWE I enjoy. I won't lie to you guys and act like I hate WWE when I don't. But I hate a lot of the shit WWE does and a lot of the decisions they make because at the end of the day, I am still a pro wrestling fan. But if you want WWE to change, if you want WWE to get better, they better start losing money quickly. That's the only change you're going to get. Okay? Their business doesn't matter when you watch NXT. And you see NXT hit 600 or 700,000 viewers, you think they care? No, NBC's happy. They have a ballpark of where they want to be, and that's it. It's all about the money. It's all about the ownership and the properties that they own, and there's just so much that is going on. But yeah, WWE is releasing a lot of talent, and they look like idiots doing it because they do have so much money, and these guys were barely getting paid shit. And then you got somebody like B-Fab who signs a brand new contract, and then a week later gets released. Come on, man. I don't know, man. There's something wrong about that in my eyes. In my eyes, there's something wrong about that. That's just me personally. That's how I feel. Look, man, this is like some really like crazy stuff with WWE. If they do sell, I'm very curious to see what ends up happening. Personally, I really don't know what's going to happen. And I do think I think at some point they should sell. Because if Vince McMahon isn't gonna allow Triple H to run anything or whatnot, I don't know, man. It's very weird. To me, it just seems weird, and I feel like and tell me if I'm wrong, guys, but I feel like the WWE is in a situation where, and this is just how I see it, I think WWE is in a situation where, like, Triple H probably isn't even in the company. Is that crazy? Is that crazy to me? I wanna know, like, I don't know. I feel like Triple H has had less and less and less, like, something just seems off about it, my friends. Something seems off about it. I know we did get a super chat earlier in the show, and I am looking for that super chat. Let's see if I could find it. I found it. Again, if anybody wants to submit, this is last call for super chats. You can send a question. I will answer it. We got a question from Dwayne Jackson. Thank you, my friend, for the $20 super chat. He asked, did you think Triple H is being punished for his so-called failure when NXT moved to Wednesday night? But we all thought that was a Vince call. All Triple H guys and gals he brought in are being released. His legacy is being erased. Dwayne Jackson, that is a fantastic question. I actually do think so. Yeah. I think Triple H is to the point where NXT was a failure. It wasn't a failure. I think NXT was embarrassed by AEW. Which, don't get me started on that, by the way. I can tell people right now, NXT 2.0 is more successful than NXT has ever been. But again, it's not, in the eyes of us internet fans and podcasters and YouTubers and stuff, it's not. But it is in the back end of things. Business-wise, NXT 2.0 is actually very, very good now. I think Triple H has been punished to a certain extent. Now, from my understanding, from what I've personally read, from what I've personally heard, it's Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Matt Bloom, HBK, Norman Smiley. Those are the guys who are like head to daily operations for NXT. Kevin Dunn oversees production elements. Vince McMahon has no ties to NXT 2.0. Vince McMahon is also reportedly the guy who asked NBC if NXT 2.0 could become TV-14. So I think what WWE is trying to do in the long term is give us the NXT that people saw during the Wednesday Night Wars, but with more characters and edginess. And I can see that being a thing. So I don't know. Very interesting stuff. I really, really don't know what to expect in that regard. I think NXT 2.0, in my opinion, is... I actually like NXT 2.0. I'm into the wacky characters and stuff. That's just me personally. Like, that's how I feel. I don't like... I think my only issue with NXT 2.0 is the colors. I think it's the logo and the colors. I think if you still did the black and... I know why they did it. They needed a new vision, a new identity for it. But I just don't like that. But other than that, I don't really see an issue with it. Do we have any other questions today, my friends? Anybody else want to submit a super chat before we go? Again, last call. If anybody has any questions, submit those super chats now. I genuinely just want to say thank you to everybody. This was the first episode of Angle in the Morning. Just some ideas of what you guys could expect. We'll be live Monday through Friday in the morning. For me, this is a morning show. I got to get like one of those cool little coffee mugs with my logo on it. But we're going to go live every day, talk about topics, a lot of stuff. And of course, stay tuned to the channel because I bring you guys the newest videos, the latest news, rumors, and all that. We will be doing live call-ins. Yes, there's some stuff going on personal life right now, but we will be doing some. There's going to be a lot of call-ins and stuff. It's going to be really fun, man. You guys are going to enjoy this. If you guys want to become members or anything like that, just let me know. Otherwise, I want to say thank you guys for stopping by. If you guys didn't like this live stream, this live event, let me know. Go ahead and tell me why. Or you could just go slap that like button. I would greatly appreciate it. Is WWE for sale? That's the real question. I don't think they are. I think they should. But thank you again, everybody, for stopping by. This is Ango in the Morning, and we are signing off. Hey, hold on. Hold on. Just as we're signing off, Zero Pile. Wow, this is crazy. Clutch. Zero Pile. He just submitted a super chat right as we're getting ready to go off air. So I want to be nice and I want to be fair because this was great. Do you think Brian Cage needs to go to WWE? Brian Cage fits in WWE without a doubt. He should have been in WWE the first time. And yeah, that's crazy. I can't believe that. That was a clutch. That was a very clutch super chat, by the way. So shout out to Zero Pile. Thank you, everybody, for stopping by. Yes, Brian Cage should go to WWE. He doesn't fit AEW. And you could get him a mouthpiece in WWE, and he'll be completely fine. And I'm sure he's marketable. WWE loves that size of wrestlers and all that stuff. So, alrighty, my friends. Thank you guys so much for watching. I will see you guys tomorrow on Tuesday, November 23rd. We will be live, and we got Thanksgiving this week. Tons of great stuff. Thank you guys for stopping by. Don't forget Discord in the description down below. Twitter at the official Ango. Ango in the Morning. Wake up with Ango every morning. Pro wrestling morning talk show. Nobody does it like us. Shout out to you guys, and I will see you guys next time. Thank you for watching.